your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to Alchemy. Joining me today and hailing from Chicago, Sammy Dorf, co-founder and chief growth officer at Verano Holdings, and excited to talk M&A, money, law, and of course, cannabis. Sammy, it's awesome to have you on the show.
And Jeff, thank you very much for having me on.
Absolutely. So, Sammy, you have a pretty great background in real estate development and law, and I thought it'd be great to kick off the show and, you know, walk us through how your experience in those sectors has really helped you be successful in the cannabis world today.
Great. Well, you know, I always, I grew up really working on the floor of the Chicago Board of Trade for my father. So at quite a young age, I was his clerk, and I always kind of had the entrepreneurial drive to really just kind of work for myself and kind of create opportunities. So when I graduated college in 2008 and the world was falling apart, I looked at my options and I was like, well, like, what's the best thing to do here? And so like, let's get a law degree. So I went to law school, John Marshall Law School. And while I was in school, one of my close friends actually opened up one of the first dispensaries in Denver, Colorado. Mm-hmm. So while I was in law school, I watched his company just start taking off. And I was like, wow, this is really kind of, you know, the future. But obviously at that point in 2010, 2011, there wasn't, you know, a cannabis market here in the state of Illinois. So when I graduated law school, I looked for, you know, what was the next hot thing right then and there. And at that point, it was really, you know, it was flipping real estate, buying distressed assets that had just come out of this foreclosure market, rehabbing them and selling them. And that's how I got involved in the real estate industry.
Amazing. So, you know, when we're talking about, you know, Verano, you know, you guys are a national vertically integrated operator of cannabis cultivation, manufacturing, and retail facilities. And, you know, would love for you to talk to us a little bit more about the company and also what impact you guys are having in the cannabis space in particular.
Yeah. So, you know, it's really exciting what we have going on here at Verano. And as you mentioned, you know, we're a fully vertically integrated company from seed to sale. So, you know, we have cultivation, manufacturing, productions, and then we have our Zen Leaf dispensary brand. Currently, we make about 150 different SKUs that touch everything from edibles to tinctures, vaporizers, and the flower. So, you know, we'd like to preface ourselves that we're on, you know, the cutting edge of all the new technology and the new devices that are coming online in the industry. So the impact is constantly changing. You know, I'd say right now it's even evolving as, you know, we see some of our stores being deemed essential during this epidemic.
Yeah. And that's kind of the going trend lately, at least on the show is, you know, we've had so many different folks across the country and that is the topic of conversation on a weekly basis and on how much, you know, things have really changed in just a short period of time. You know, you guys have a ton of different brands. So like you were saying, everything from concentrates to edibles and extracts and flowers and topicals. Talk to us a little bit about some of your larger brands in particular. I was reading about Gold Leaf and Encore and, you know, Menta and Sweet Sins. Like, talk to us about some of the different products.
Yeah. So, you know, when we first started the company, our objective was to create a product that would touch any different type of consumer and patient. For those that were just coming in and first trying cannabis, we wanted to make sure that we had products that would be in that quote unquote entry level, that were low dose, that had some form of THC and a CBD, which you see in our Vexia line, all the way up to, you know, our high potency testing, you know, flower. That's some of the highest testing flower in the state, both on, you know, the flower side and the vape side, which you'll find, you know, in our actual Verano branded product. You know, we also, you know, wanted to have a product that was, you know, that hit towards just kind of your sweet and savories. And that's where our Encore edible line came up. And that was with our gummies, also had a line of droplets that came along with that, but really just wanted, you know, just wanted products that would hit all the different types of demographics of the consumer that we were seeing in the marketplace.
Nice. And you guys, you know, from a brand perspective, like, you guys are pushing out, you know, limited edition stuff. You're doing very, very much fashion forward cannabis products, and you played an integral role in a lot of these from the creation and the design and the development? Like, how are you staying ahead of trends? And especially in the cannabis space, things are moving so quickly. Like, how do you kind of hone in on what's going to be the next hot selling product?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. And I mean, that comes from all, you know, that comes from many different facets, whether it's, you know, my interest in fashion, our interest in music, and basically what's hot right now. You know, we look what's going on the West Coast, where there was, you know, a ton of, you know, the cannabis influence came from, all the way to kind of the East Coast. We had a lot of, you know, a lot of the urban flavor and street flavor. So it was really cool. And we've kind of put that together to create a high-end product that we wanted, you know, that had, you know, with always with the basis that it had quality and consistency. What we saw right away when we entered the space is that, you know, there was brands that would be some in California, there'd be some in Colorado and some, you know, different states, but there wasn't quality and consistency across the brands. And that's what we really, you know, honed in on, was not only creating something that looked appealing from, you know, the packaging and the feel and the smell, but that was, you know, that had a strong quality and consistency that we could replicate across, you know, every single state that we're in.
Awesome. And so obviously building a brand and building brands and products is super important to the success of a company, but, you know, also building the right team and the right leadership team. You know, I'm just curious from you, as you're, you know, continue to build this company, you know, what are some of the things that you look for as you're building out your leadership team? Like, what's really come together, you know, to make you guys successful in what you're doing today?
Yeah, you know, with our team, I think the thing that's made us really successful and unique is our operations, our operational background. You know, my partner, George, came from a strong restaurant background. You know, he started his first restaurant when he was 19 years old. You know, it now owns the Wildberry restaurants, which a lot of us Chicagoans are familiar with. But it's really having strong standard operating procedures. And from the bottom up, from every single store that we operate, from every cultivation and production facility that we operate in, it's those standard operating procedures and really honing in on those to make sure that, you know, that we have strong quality and consistency. And from there, it kind of just rises through the ranks. You know, what we say is that, you know, if you can't have a good product, it's hard to expand into another state. It's hard to have shelf space in a dispensary. It's hard to garner that support, you know, virtually through, you know, the web and everything like that, all the way down the consumer. So it really starts and ends with our standard operating procedures. And from there, it's easy to tweak, right? We can always improve the packaging. We can always improve the flavors, and we can always, you know, stay on brand, but always, you know, evolving over time.
Awesome. And, you know, in addition to that, you're also spending quite a bit of time through, you know, capital raises and funding, which obviously we all know takes a lot of time and a lot of focus, and doing road shows, you know, for folks that are listening in that are, you know, going into their fundraising rounds now, which of course is always a difficult time. But anything that you could talk to us as far as strategy and maybe some, you know, tips for folks, because you've had a great track record along the raising side.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, fundraising is a really important part of any startup company. And I mean, you know, I think people often forget that a lot of these cannabis companies are startup companies. You know, we started in these, you know, nascent early on cannabis industry, markets, where we were, you know, one of, you know, 15 licenses in a state. It was new to people. They were nervous to invest. So, you know, the initial days were a lot of knocking on doors and a lot of sitting one-on-one with individuals trying to get them to invest. Obviously, that's evolved over time. But it was really important just getting in front of people. And, you know, as the more and more people that you get in front of, you kind of learn the questions that they're going to ask, and you can kind of you can adapt not your pitch per se, but, you know, what you're going to provide and the different structures you can provide for different individuals, depending on, you know, the capital requirements of your company.
I mean, you guys raised what, 120 million?
Yeah, roughly that was one of our initial raises. We raised around 120.
So, you know, pretty significant raise. You guys also, you know, have over 25 licenses spanning 14 states, which is amazing.
Thank you.
And, you know, how did you guys manage to do that too? Obviously raising money is hard enough as it is, but then also, you know, getting all of these licenses and spanning across so many states is even harder.
Yeah. So one of the unique things that we were really good at, I always joked that we weren't good money raisers in the beginning. So we had to be good at a couple other things. And that was one was operations, as I spoke to. And the second thing is winning merit-based applications. You know, that is something that was really unique to our team. Something that I really kind of led up was being able to apply in these states that had these limited licenses and win through these merit-based application processes. Because if you're able to do that, you know, you can enter a market for a fraction of what it costs to actually acquire one of those licenses after the process is over.
And so when you kind of look back at the last bit of time, anything in particular where you're like, you know, I wish I did that better, you know, kind of in hindsight?
You know, there's a lot of things I could say that I wish I would have done better. But I also can't complain in the position that I'm in right now, right? We always joke around and we always look in the back, you know, me and my partner always talk about, well, oh my God, if we would have done this or we would have done that. And then I'm always like, well, let's look at the glass half full, right? Like here we are today, as you said, in almost 14 markets across the United States, privately held cannabis company. You know, we're doing great, expanding into the markets we're in. We're in some of the best markets in the country right now, you know, growing our brands. So, of course, we could have done things different here and there. But at the same time, some of those things that you might have done differently might have changed, you know, the outcome of where the trajectory of where we would have been. And maybe we wouldn't have been in this place. So I think a lot of times as an entrepreneur, you know, the mistakes that you made previously or how you've gotten through adverse situations, they kind of, you know, they form who you are. They kind of create the grit of who you are personally and what the company is.
Yeah, I totally agree there. And I say this to my team every day. For years, I've been saying this is, you know, you have to make mistakes because if you don't make mistakes, you won't learn and you won't get better. And if you do everything perfectly, you're never growing, right?
Couldn't agree more.
So, you know, I definitely wanted to take a little bit of time today to talk about the M&A side of the business, because this is, it's something that we've seen a lot of in the cannabis space in particular, and especially the last couple of years, there's just been so much, you know, growth and consolidation and, you know, changes. And with every, you know, new vertical, there's always kind of like five steps forward and then there's a few steps back until we get to the point that we are kind of like, you know, humming. But I'm just curious how you guys look at, you know, M&A from a Verano perspective.
So that's a great question. And it's something that, as I'm sure, you know, a lot of people have watched from the outside and have been in the cannabis space and been on the inside. The M&A has really changed. Initially in the cannabis space, it was, you know, it was winning license through merit-based applications, buying licenses that that were going to get open and create, you know, revenue right away, not really analyzing so much the marketplace. And then it moved into 2.0, which was almost like a land grab. You know, you saw all these companies that it was, well, how many states are they in and how many licenses do they have? And what we've seen, unfortunately, is there's, you know, that model became a detriment to a lot of these companies. They expanded too quickly, entered markets that, you know, they weren't good. They weren't strong markets. And at the same time, there were strict regulatory, you know, issues of getting open and becoming a profitable company. So, you know, as we stand in, I call it our 3.0 version of the cannabis space and the 3.0 version of Verano, we look at M&A very strategically, and it has to be accretive to our overall goal and our overall bottom line, you know, of being EBITDA, you know, cash flow positive companies. So every asset we look at, we have to make sure, you know, does it fit into what we're trying to achieve? And I could say even a year and a half ago, it was different. We looked at things and just what state do we need to expand it to next? But, you know, that's really changed.
You know, I wanted to go back, you know, and talk a little bit about some of the things that your guys are doing on the brand side. So you guys have Zen Leaf brand dispensary environments. Is that correct?
Yep.
So I wanted to talk a little bit more about that, because I think you guys are really focused on that seed to consumer shopping experience. So can you talk to us about, you know, well, one, why is it the in-store experience so important, and how are you ensuring really high quality experiences?
So what I would say is that, you know, again, so let's, when we go back to the original days, it was you popped open your dispensary. Your dispensary half the time had to be in an industrial park. You couldn't be on Main and Main. It was a destination. And it was so new that people would just come, and it didn't matter what was going on in the store. They were excited to shop. You know, the retail environment in the cannabis space has evolved a lot, as you alluded to. So one of the things we want to do on the retail front is we want to provide, you know, good customer service. What we see a lot of stores doing is just getting in the game of lowering their prices and lowering their prices in order to garner support and bring customers into their store. Now, while we do have obviously competitive prices, we believe, you know, providing the best customer service is what really is going to drive the future value of the store.
Awesome. Yeah, I think, you know, everything comes down to experience, and especially in you know, these new markets where people are just, they're trying products for the first time. You want to get them to come back in the store. You want them to, you know, really feel special and, you know, have that amazing experience when they leave, so they come back again. So.
Yeah. And I would say one more thing to that is that the experience is evolving. You know, we're moving out of these industrial areas and we're getting to move into more retail centric spaces where we have a bigger footprint, where we're able to do cooler things, where, you know, we're able to have different types of pop-ups in our store representing different brands, different types of installations. So, you know, we're in, you know, phase four of the build outs of our stores right now, and they look nothing like our original stores. So that's really exciting too, from an operator standpoint, as we're being able to provide a much cooler experience due to, you know, the changing, you know, regulatory landscape.
Totally. Any insight into kind of as we move along into 2020 and we get through this crisis right now, any insight into what you think is going to happen in the space in the next year?
Obviously, this is taking a little bit of a hit on the movement of how quickly things are, you know, moving from either into medical or from medical to recreational, or even for stores being able to get open, you know, with inspections and stuff. So we're all working closely with the state regulators just to make sure we're able to still provide solid access to the patients. But I think you'll see the trend that we've seen over the last, you know, 24 months is that there will be continual movement towards states going medical and then states flipping from medical to recreational. You know, there's no doubt that the tax revenue that's generated and the jobs that's generated from cultivation and dispensaries, you know, are creating positive impacts on the communities that they're in.
100%. I think especially now, a lot of states need that revenue, especially with what's happened in the last few weeks. So maybe that will accelerate things.
Maybe it will. You never know.
Right. You never know. I'm in New York, so, you know,
yeah,
I'm waiting for things to happen here. Sammy, part of the show, we talk a little bit about business in the beginning, and then we kind of end things with some quick fire questions about you.
Let's do it.
Really easy. You know, I'm just going to ask you a question and you just first thing that comes to your mind.
Sounds good.
All right. First question, biggest strength.
Is judgment of character.
Judgment of character. Okay. Favorite animal?
A dolphin.
Love dolphins. Beach or mountain?
Ooh, beach.
One thing you've learned about yourself in quarantine?
I'm as restless as I thought I was.
do you work harder?
I work more strategically. I know what I need to get done, and I need to have put myself in a room and just knock it out.
Yeah. I find that, you know, in quarantine, all of us are literally, there's no boundaries anymore between work and home. We're just working 24/7.
24/7. I'm on calls all day long.
Yeah. At least on the flip side, we are getting a lot of stuff done. What do you think of garden gnomes?
Garden gnomes?
Yeah.
You know what? I think that they would, they'd be great in like a series like Tiger King or something like that.
What was the last gift you gave someone?
Was probably a cannabis-related product.
Nice. What's for dinner tonight?
Dinner tonight is going to be salad because I've been eating bad lately. So tonight I'm eating salad.
Okay, a little healthy. Favorite place in the world?
Where I'm sitting right now, which is Michiana. So New Buffalo, Michigan, Michiana Shores.
Nice. Is it nice there today?
It's awesome. We got 65 degrees, got the windows open right off the beach. Going to take a little jog probably after this, but it's my happy place.
Craziest thing you've ever done?
Well, I don't know if I could say that on the podcast.
Well, we are an explicit podcast, so you can really say anything.
I've done some crazy things in my life. Craziest thing I've ever done. That's a tough one. I guess, you know, some would argue, you know, leaving a law career, leaving a real estate career, and jumping in the cannabis space at 27 years old with no money and just a dream.
Oh, look at you now.
That's right.
Who's laughing now? Awesome. Well, Sammy, this was great. It was great to have you on the show. It was great to really hear about all the great stuff that you guys are doing, all the great brands that you guys are working on, and obviously all the amazing expansion and just all around just awesome stuff.
Thank you. And I appreciate you having me on.
Pleasure. This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.